Well, how's everybody doing this morning? Oh, it's great to be here. So I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's like, I don't know, triple digits. So I am loving this weather, but I think I should have brought my winter coat. It is so cool here. Last week, I was in Denver, Colorado. I was speaking to a uni church there, so that was great, too. So, I mean, this is great, the traveling, getting away from the heat. But I got to share this. 2 weeks ago, I was speaking for 150 nuns. I don't even know how I got this talk, but the average age, I think it was 70, and the oldest, 93. And I know this because she came up to me after the service, and she said, "Sonny, I'm 93 years young." And then she says, "I have a joke for you." Who would like to hear the joke from the 93-year-old nun? So she says, "Now, Sonny, you know the Jews, they don't acknowledge Jesus. And the Protestants don't acknowledge the Pope. And Baptist, they don't acknowledge each other at the liquor store." Oh, you know, but it got me thinking, and I don't know if it's, I don't know, I think sometimes maybe it could be lacking. Maybe it's just my opinion, but I think something that's so important, and what she reminded me of, is what I call this consciousness of humor, this humor consciousness. The spirituality of laughing and smiling. And I think sometimes, I don't know, some people, they get maybe so uptight and they bring that over to spirituality. But one of my favorite things, how many have seen the Laughing Jesus? Oh, I love the Laughing Jesus. Because for me, that's an expression of spirituality. You know, there's a study in Good Housekeeping that found the average four-year-old laughs or smiles up to 400 times a day. Curious. How many of you have kids? How many ever seen a kid? You know, they're always laughing and smiling. But the study also showed by the time they reach the age of 30, that number drops to 15. Think about that. Think about how many people you come across on a day-to-day basis, and they just need a smile. And let me ask you this. How much does it cost to smile? So what I'd like to do, just real quickly, a little kind of warm-up activity. If you would, please, just find someone on your left, your right. Give them the biggest, cheesiest, show them all the teeth smile you have. Or lack of teeth. And here's what I want to encourage you. Give someone a smile. Give someone a smile. Because you never know what someone's going through. And I think this idea we're going to talk about this morning, creating your brightest future, but I think part of creating your brightest future is helping other people create their brightest future. And sometimes that's as simple and as powerful as a smile. I'll give you an example. So this past Mother's Day was my 13th anniversary of a successful bone marrow transplant. Now, I know I'm no Tom Cruise, but I think I look pretty okay 13 years later. But I don't know if you're familiar with the bone marrow transplant, but what they have to do, I had leukemia, and so it's a blood cancer, and so for the bone marrow transplant, they wipe out your immune system. And I never been so sick before, never been so discouraged. I'm in my early 20s, and I'm laying in the hospital bed, and I'm about ready to give up. I really don't know how I could face one more day. And I'll never forget Nurse Margot. Because every day she walked to the front door, well, not the front door, I guess there's only one door in the hospital room. But every time she walked to that door, she had a smile on her face. And that smile gave me the encouragement, gave me the inspiration to keep going one more day. Over 13 years ago, and I remember that smile. So I encourage you, smile, smile, smile. Well, it's great to be here. I want to read this to you. I came across this day. You know, I read a couple, I forgot, a couple months ago, but I read this. It's worth traveling to be among extraordinary people. And you truly are extraordinary. You all realize that, right? How extraordinary you are? Okay, a little bit. We don't want to brag, right? I think sometimes we just forget how extraordinary we truly are, how awesome we are, how uniquely we are. For example, if you would, please take your index finger. Take your index finger. And we look at your index finger, those lines there. Of course, we call them what?
Fingerprints.
And what do we know about your fingerprints? 7 billion people. And you're the only one who has that fingerprint. And that proves a very special point, that just like you have that unique fingerprint, you have a unique and special purpose. And sometimes that's as simple and as powerful as a smile. But let me read this to you. I just saw this today, and this is fascinating. And this, once again, shows just how special, how extraordinary you are. Here it is. And this is by Lawrence Cross. He's a professor at the School of Earth and Science at Arizona State University. And he says this: every atom in your body came from a star that exploded, and the atoms in your left hand probably came from a different star than your right hand. It really is the most poetic thing I know about physics. You are all stardust. Now, this is a scientist saying this. but they just, in Northwestern, they just discovered it, that how we think the DNA that was formed and makes humanity was formed by these dust from other universes and galaxies. But think about that. You're stardust. You're uniquely, especially divinely created. You know, talk about, you know, this idea of creating your brightest future. You know what the secret to creating your brightest future is? The secret is you already are. The fact that you woke up today, the fact that you're in this presence, in this time, that you're alive, it proves a point. And here's what I know about you. You are a miracle manifestation machine. They're all right. Got one amen. Good. Let me say that again. A miracle manifestation machine. Let me prove that. How many would like to do a miracle, experience a miracle right here and right now? Would you like to experience a miracle? All right, let's have some fun. Is it okay we have some fun? All right, I'm just warming up. We got to have some fun, right? Okay, let's experience a miracle. Before we experience the miracle, let's get ready for that. Okay, let's prepare, let's prep for it. So if you would, please, just take your hands. Rub them together as fast as you can. Then hold them about 6 inches and move them back and forth. 6 inches, move them back and forth. Everyone feel that force? You feel that? How many can see that force? You can see it? With the mind's eye, right? Inner eye. But you can feel it, right? Okay, so here we go. Let's experience a miracle. If you would, please. Take a big, deep breath in. And breathe out. How big of a check would you write for that? Think about that. That breath. That is, can you explain how that is even possible? That's a miracle of life. Do you realize every day that you wake up, the fact that you woke up, that's your brightest future. You know what's so interesting is more things go right than ever go wrong. But unfortunately, as humans sometimes, we kind of like looking at the negative. You know anyone like that kind of looks at the negative sometimes? Which reminds me, you all know what CNN stands for, right? CNN? Constantly negative news. Oh, I thought that was funny. But here's what's interesting. So, from an evolutionary biological standpoint, what scientists have found is humans, we have this thing called a negativity bias. And a negativity bias, you think thousands of years ago when you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, you know, if you were like super positive and said, oh, nice kitty cat, not a good thing gonna happen. And so even though we're wired like that, that's why we have to consciously work on what Paul talked about. If you remember, the Church of Romans, he says this, don't be conformed to this world. What's the world? so much of its negative, so much of its lack. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what? Your mind, renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing today, renewing of your mind. Realizing, I think ultimately, that's why I love what talked about this perspective. It's about a perspective. I have this formula, one formula. I flunked algebra in school, so I figured when I started speaking, it'd be cool to have an algebraic formula for life. And here it is. C plus P equals R. C plus P equals R. Let me explain that. Your circumstances plus your perception equals your reality. Let me give an example here. Give an example. So, age-old question. Is the glass half full or half empty? How many optimists in the room would say the glass is half full? Can I see your hands? Very good, very good. Do we have any realists in the room that say the glass is half empty? Any realists in the room? You know, when I speak, sometimes I speak for engineers. They're a very lively group. It's like verse opposite. But here's, let me share this with you. So, your circumstances plus your perception equals your reality. So let me share this. I believe this cup is either half full or half empty. It's actually 100% full. 50% with water, the other 50% with air. So if you think about it, in our example, our metaphor, if this cup represents a circumstance, whatever that might be, because it really doesn't matter what it is, the reality of that circumstance is based on what? Your perception. Half full, half empty, 100% full. Let me give you an example. It was January. 2004, and I started having these massive headaches, and I wasn't sure what it was, what was going on, and best way I could describe it, I mean, it was like, I guess, like a Mack truck parked on top of my head, and so I knew something wasn't right. I was referred to, at the time living in Kansas, I was referred to Kansas University Medical Center, downtown Kansas City, Kansas. I'll never forget that day. It was a Monday morning, cold and dreary outside. I'm sitting in the hospital bed. I'm waiting for the test results. I hear a knock, and into the room walks the doctor. And she walked over to my bedside, and she pulled up a chair, and she says to me, "Matt, there's cancer in your brain." And then she said to me, "You have a less than 10% chance of living to the age of 30. She got up and she walked out. So much for bedside manners. As I sat there in that hospital bed, 25 years young, I had a choice. And part of me, this voice said, "Matt, you can't do this. It's impossible. You can't overcome this. Just give up. There's no use." But then there was that still, quiet voice, and a whisper said, "Don't give up. Don't give up." And this past October, I turned 38. You know, sometimes I'm asked, "Matt, how did you do it? How did you go from that hospital bed to where you are today?" And I think back, and so many dark nights. There are so many days when I could barely get out of bed. And there was times when I thought, is it even worth living? And what I had to do is I had to cling on to the hope, to that anchor of those three words, "Don't give up." And it became that anchor through the sea of desperation, a sea of hopelessness. And when you're going through that dark night of the soul, don't give up. And when life takes a hold of you and shakes you to the very being of your fiber, don't give up. when there seems to be no more hope, don't give up. I'm here today because those three words, don't give up. So in a practical sense, how do you do that? How do you do that? So here's what I want to give you. Visualize your victory. Visualize your victory. Because what you focus on is what you get back. I love this quote. T. Harv Eker, he said this: where your attention goes, your energy flows, and your results show. Let me say that again. Where your attention goes, your energy flows, your results show. I'll give you an example. Here we are in Michigan. Any race car fans? Formula One, NASCAR? Okay, we have like 1.5. Okay, well... never mind that example. Okay. Let me try this one. How many of you like to drive fast? Can I see your hands? Oh, I know that's true. Just driving to church today. I was like, am I on a speedway? I mean, I'm getting past and I'm going like, you know, 5 over the speed limit. There's horns are honking at me. Well, I used to live in California. And in California, they had these race car driving schools. And one of the things they teach you is what to do when you spin out of control. And they tell you, don't focus on the wall, but focus where you want to go on the track. Because where you place your attention, where you place your focus, that's where you end up. And what a great metaphor for life. You see, here's the thing. Crane your brightest future. The fact that you woke up, the fact that you're here, you are living your brightest future. But what happens is, every day we have the choice. To focus on the wall, to focus on the negativity, to focus on the so-called problems, or the choice to focus where you want to go. So visualize your victory. So I want to give this to you, help you to remember, and also one of the ways we learn is kinesthetically, which is moving our body. So when I say visualize your, if everybody would go victory, my whole highlight coming to Michigan. Sound great or sound great? All right, here we go. Visualize your
victory.
Doesn't that feel good? You wake up tomorrow morning, victory. A couple of years ago, I was stuck in the longest TSA security line at the airport. I mean, I was just so excited. I finally got through. I went, victory. Big mistake. I don't recommend that. Special room, full body pat down. Visualize your victory. Because here's what I discovered. You set your intention and you make it your attention. You set your intention and you make it your attention. You know, I like what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. This is powerful. He said this: so we do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Stardust. Stardust. Visualize your victory. I want to give this to you. One thing that helps me to visualize my victory is a little affirmation. You might have heard it, but I think it's always a good reminder. Here's my all-time go-to favorite affirmation. It's this: I'm too blessed to be stressed. Because you think about it, every day, once again, more things happen right than wrong. Let me give you an example. How many would say your heart beats a good thing? Can anyone really explain how your heart really beats? And let me ask you this. How often do you think about your heart beating? Or a lot? Okay. But you think about this. Now, let me ask you this question. Does anybody know how many heartbeats the average person has? A day. A lot. No, I Googled it this morning. It's 115,200. So you think about it. If you had like a sheet of all the good things versus all the bad things, I don't know, what do they call it, like a balance sheet or something, and you write off on the heartbeats, you're already 115,200 positive things. And that's just heartbeats. Think about that. Wow. Heartbeats. Visualize your victory. You see, going back, is it half full, half empty, or 100% full? You see, I stand here today, and I can say this. that being diagnosed with cancer, all the experiences I went through at a young age, one of the greatest blessings of my life. And I remember laying in that hospital bed, 23 years young, not sure if I was going to make it, but I knew in my heart of hearts that I would. And I laid there, and I visualized this victory. That someday, somewhere, for someone, some good would come from this experience. Folks, today's that day. And I know especially somebody in this room needed to hear something I had to say. Because that's how spirit, divine creation, God works. And I believe this, out of your mess comes your message. Out of your test comes your testimony. I want to give you one other thing before you wrap this up. One other thing. Because if all I ever did, if I just would have laid in my bed visualizing my victory, I never would have been here unless I did something else. James, the brother of Jesus, says this, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. The Quakers say it this way, pray and move your feet. And so the second thing I want to give to you, creating your brightest future. The first one, you got to visualize your. And the second one, if you would, please repeat after me, take action. Now, once again, we learn kinesthetically, which is moving our body. So when I say take action, if everyone goes A for action, that would be awesome. All right, here we go. Take
action.
Take action. Now, I want to demonstrate this. I'm going to do a demonstration because that's the key. Visualizing, creating your brightest future. Not only visualizing your future, but taking action. How do you take action? One way, smiling. Just a smiling. So, a little demonstration. Here we go. So what I got here, so I wrote this book. Well, I'll show a couple books. A couple of my books here. And then, anyone ever read this book? It's by Pam Grout. It's E Squared. Has anyone read this book? Oh, highly recommend it. I'm going to actually share some stories in the seminar today about this book, just powerful things. But what's great about this book is it's like nine like little metaphysical experiments that you can do, and it's so fun. But anyway, so we have this, books downstairs, but all three for 20. But here's a question. How many would like to have this for free? Visualizing your victory. Who would like to have this for free? Now, so you got to visualize your but also you got to do what? Take
action.
So how could you take action to get all three books for free? So how could you take action? Oh, very good. Give her a round of applause. Visualize your victory. Take action. One last story, then we'll do a big celebration. Mother's Day 2004, I walked out of the hospital. Successful bone marrow transplant, and I've been in remission ever since. And the first thing I did when the doctor came in my hospital room and he said, Matt, you get to go home, is I picked up the telephone and I called my mom. And I said, Mom, happy Mother's Day. I get to go home. And she said, Matt, this is the greatest Mother's Day gift ever. Now, what happened was because the cancer went to my brain, after the successful bone marrow transplant, they want to do some follow-up chemotherapy. And what that meant was one chemo treatment a month for over 10 months. Now, we had nine of these. Everything was looking really good. So I asked my doctor, I said, do I really need this last one? What's the medical literature say? And he paused and he said, Matt, there is no medical literature. There's never been someone who had what you had be here a year later. I said, well, doc, keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, God is in you. And sometimes I wonder, why me? Why did I wake up this morning? Why have I been so blessed to take a breath in and a breath out? And the reason why I'm so blessed is the reason why you're so blessed. And I believe one of the ultimate choices we can make in this life is I call it the choice to serve. Realizing just like you have that unique and special fingerprint, you have a unique and special purpose. There's a reason why you woke up today. There's a reason why you're here. So with that, what I like to do is close it out. And I believe one of the ways that we create our bride's future is to celebrate life. And the fact that we woke up, the fact that you and I are here, that is a celebration. Now, I think probably because of the brain damage, one of my goals was to do a marathon in every continent. And so I did 7 of them, even Antarctica. And then 2 months ago, they discovered a new continent. I'm like, serious? Yeah, it's called Zealandia. So in November, I have my 8th one. Well, thank you. I hope they don't discover any more continents because I really don't like to run. I just do it for the participation medal. But anyways, here's my point. So when you're training for these marathons, every week you have a long run. And at the long run, what I do is when I finish that long run, I visualize myself crossing the finish line on marathon day. And I go, victory! So what I like to do with you all is, would it be okay if we just celebrate life? So what I want to do is I like to cross the finish line together, this metaphoric finish line. Together, we'll go victory, victory, victory. Make lots of noise, and then give at least 2 people a big high five or a hug, and I'll turn it back over. Sound great or sound great? All right, so if you're ready, picture yourself in your mind. We're coming across this finish line. If you want to, you can stand up or you can sit down. It doesn't matter. And here we go. We've gone 26.1 miles, and we're coming down the final stretch, and we cross the finish line all together. Victory, victory, victory. Lots of noise. And give someone a big high five or a hug. And remember this, if you can see it, believe it's possible, you can do it. Thank you.